Welcome to the Supply Chain Ambassador Podcast. I'm your host, Bruno, helping you navigate the world of supply chain in a fun and engaging way. On today's podcast, I have with me Jean-Claude Azar. Jean-Claude Azar was nominated to the position of Director General in Finance and the Administration Branch and was appointed permanently to the position April 3rd, 2023. In this role, Jean-Claude is responsible for leading the agency's procurement, material management, logistics, and administrative services, including the knowledge and research program, and also including asset management, mail services, digital content delivery services, records management, and forms distribution. All this within the Canada Revenue Agency umbrella. Jean-Claude began his career in the federal public service in 2006 as the head of contracting with the Pest Management Regulation Agency. Since 2009, he has held several management and executive positions in procurement and material management in various departments. In 2012, he led a major business transformation of the procurement business model at Fisheries and Oceans Canada, before joining the Canada Revenue Agency in 2015 as the director of the contracting division. Jean-Claude holds a degree in commerce, is a graduate of the Canada School of Public Service Leadership Program Direction, is an alumnus of the Queen's University Public Executive Program and the University of Ottawa's Leadership and the Age of Climate Change Program. Welcome, Jean-Claude.
Thank you so much.
I would love to dive into a bit of your journey and your background and how you got to your current role. The bios just don't do it enough justice.
I'll have to say, I stumbled on procurement. It was never in the cards. I remember I was at university and Health Canada, they were looking for a casual position. And a friend of mine, she was supposed to be the one, but then she said to me, she said, I found something else. Would you be interested? Job. Why wouldn't it? University.
Yeah.
So I took the job and I was fascinated. So for me, commerce and procurement and contracting negotiation, the business side of it, it really attracted me. And that was really my first ever job with the government. I finished my casual and then I started consulting in that space. Long story, I applied and then I got in. But I really fell in love with it. Not necessarily the transactional, the whole aspect of it, the negotiation part, the problem solving part, the learning. At Fisheries, I spent a long time at Fisheries and I was fascinated by the mandate, the oceanography, the icebreakers,
yeah,
the laboratories. It was just, I remember one file, it was never done. They wanted to integrate two radar signals into one. Mm-hmm. So the whole part of it, it was really the dopamine we were mm-hmm. talking about.
Yeah.
It was really attractive and it became a passion. It didn't stop being a job, it became a passion. And that was, the rest was history, yeah.
Yeah, when you really love what you do, like you forget that it's a job.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
Every 100%. File. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So in your current position right now, what would you say that you love about your work?
So first, I don't consider this a job.
Okay.
It's a lifestyle. Okay. So I've always said that to me, being a procurement officer, it's a lifestyle. Similar if you are a lawyer or if you are a doctor, it's not something that I do. And when I leave home, I do something completely different. It's a continuum of being. So what I like about it, it's the people, the challenges. The job I'm in at the CRA gives me exposure to technology, to major changes in industry, to innovative solutions. That in itself is so rewarding. Being part of devising things that taxpayers will see 5 years from now, it's fascinating. It's more than procurement, and I'm applying my passion in other areas as well, modernizing. So I'm somebody, I like and I enjoy business transformation and business re-engineering. This is it's not everybody's cup of tea, because change management, you're changing the culture, adults don't like to change, and it's about pushing the envelope. This is the part, the job affords me my passion in procurement, passion about people, but also the opportunity to transform.
The older I get, the less I like to change my ways. So I totally understand how inspiring the people to change for change that's coming, right?
Yes.
It speaks to leadership that we talked about earlier and having that vision.
Exactly.
Do you find any challenges with that or any misconceptions about what you're trying to achieve and
do?
I
would lie if I say no.
Yeah.
Every time you put a group of people together, as you mentioned, we adults, we are comfortable, set in our ways, waking up in the morning, coming, I do my files, this is the process. Why do you want to change it all? So I face people who are skeptic. I face people who don't like the change. For example, right now, everybody, the buzzword is artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
So I have employees who jump on the opportunity and they want to play with it. They want to try it. I have others who are taking their distancing. It's going to take my job. I'm not interested. I want nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And others are on the fence. They're interested. They're curious, but they don't know how to approach it. So it's just whenever you have people. And the beauty is about how you bring everybody, all of that mix with you on your journey, convincing them about your vision and giving them the space to try and fail and try and fail until you get where you want them to get and you see the potential.
Wow. So not only do you have to think about the programs and the vision, but like the people, like giving them the vision and managing their growth. That's very interesting.
It's a lot of people. Yeah. I've always said, procurement is the easy part. The technical side of the job.
Are you sure it's easy?
It is the easy part.
Okay.
The challenging part is the people of it, whether it's your clients or your officers. It's the people side of the job that makes it.
Yeah.
Not the technical side of the job.
Yeah.
Once you know your trade agreements, you know your policy, you know your process, just it's mass production.
Yeah.
It's about the people.
Yeah.
Your client not telling you the full story, mm-hmm. the officer not understanding the nuances, mm-hmm. or just limiting their vision to what's in front of them, not taking a much more strategic approach.
Today's episode was brought to you by Workaway Offices, Ottawa's premier flexible workspace provider. Their beautifully designed facilities offer everything from co-working, desks, and private offices to fully managed executive suites, along with meeting rooms, virtual business addresses, and more. It's everything a professional needs under one roof. Whether you're a freelancer, a startup founder, or remote worker, Workaway Offices makes work fun and flexible. So visit Workaway Offices to book a tour and learn more. It is so true. And even on the vendor management side, the last podcast, Vincent had mentioned procurement, the outside world, the vendor community doesn't know what we know, and we assume that they do. So there's a lot of assumptions and there's miscommunications. And then, like you said, it's about mm-hmm. the people. You have to understand the nuances, the context behind what you're buying. What does it mean to them? How urgent do they want it? Everybody mm-hmm. wants, mm-hmm. fiscal year end, they all want, yeah. everything's urgent.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But is it really urgent?
I like the title of your podcast. It's not about the procurement transaction. It's mm-hmm. about the supply chain.
Yeah.
And it's about understanding your client, the consumer of the product, as well as your supplier community. It's about the whole chain.
The whole chain.
And you are the glue of that chain.
That's why I started this podcast, is to get that business acumen that mm-hmm. you don't normally get from your just standard five. Like you said, when you live it beyond your work, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You have to live the job beyond what?
Exactly.
That 9 to 5 hours.
Exactly.
In that sense, what challenges do you think that you face, whether it's executing the vision, whether it's business transformation, or just people in general, their hesitancy? What challenges have you faced in your career and how did you overcome them?
Lots of them. First of all, I consider myself somebody who was fortunate in his career. I can't complain. I've always had great opportunities and a great leader to support those opportunities. But I also have faced challenges with reporting to someone who doesn't understand my business. Finance is about numbers. 1 + 1 = 2, no matter how you look at it. In the world of contracting and procurement, the answer is it depends. They don't like that. And we know we are part of the financial community. It's not always a smooth relationship. So people who I reported to, convincing my superior of the transformation. 2016, I put forward a number of transformational initiatives when I joined the CRA. They were put on the side, but it was interested. 2 years ago, when we start talking about austerity and whatnot, I dusted off the same proposals. They were very well received and they were implemented.
Wow.
It depends. The players have changed. The circumstances have changed. Mm-hmm. To me, it's the people who you report to. It doesn't mean that they were bad or wrong. to me, I think it's also, it's about maturity on my part, knowing the timing, what some of the things you have to put forward. An idea might be great, but if it's not the right timing, mm-hmm. might not go far. Personal challenges as well. When you look at your career as a continuum, as a lifestyle, whatever has impact your life will impact. Also, it changes in direction. Like the last little while since the pandemic, we've been on a roller coaster. Different priorities, competing priorities, lots of commitments, thinking about the supply chain and the Forced Labor Act, yeah. the Accessibility Act,
yeah.
the Indigenous, the Corporate and Social Responsibility, the green procurement that got expanded. So all of those are competing, and many of them with little to no training. So those were challenges. How do you want to deliver? How do you want to bring your people with you? Somebody who has done buying widgets all their career. Now suddenly they want to have to consider where they're buying them, impact it's having on that community, and are children being engaged in that labor? So all of these things. So it's just the sheer pace of change we have right now is in itself a challenge, I find. Let's see.
Yeah, I live it. I had to do the forced labor reporting mm-hmm. for my agency. So it's, and then how do you implement that to your frontline officers? It's not something they think about when they're buying commodities. They don't think, oh, I have to consider, is the vendor yeah. engaged in human trafficking or forced labor? That's just one of many mm-hmm. rules that procurement is just having to follow. Yeah. And it's exciting, but also it's daunting.
It is daunting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Some of the challenges for me was also the way the government look at this community. For the longest time, it was always looked at as a transactional.
That's right, yeah.
It was only in the last 10 years that ministers started asking more of this community, asking for economical impact. They're asking for long-term sustainability. Mm-hmm. They're asking for how we can use that to strengthen sector economies. Mm-hmm. It's slowly getting right now the recognition and the merit that they deserve, but it's been a long
journey. All of a sudden, we went from being like pencil pushers of just getting the contracts out. Still, we're at the crux of like very important monetary like decisions on, 100%. Like you said, 100%. Where the flow of what sectors, you know, what.
Yeah. The last one is with all the saga we've been having.
That's right.
It's procurement now is being leveraged as a tool.
Yes.
I wouldn't call it a retaliatory tool, but it's a tool in the arsenal of the
yeah.
in order to deal with the ramification of the
Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Let's bring this down subject back up into light. What exciting things are you working on or are you looking forward to working on?
Right now, there's a lots of things, and I'll bring it back to the artificial. The government of the day is very committed to leveraging artificial intelligence for operational efficiency, for a faster service to Canadians. As an organization, we deal with all of us, spares. We're dealing with various generation, various demands. The older generation, they still like paper. They still like go to the bank, see somebody. But the new generation, in order for you to get the information fast, you need digital. And it's not easy to transform an enterprise as the government or the CRA and make it digital. Right now, it depends who you call. Different areas of the organization have different databases with your information. As a taxpayer, you think if I call them, my information will be updated everywhere else. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. So we're working on that particular piece, but more closely, in my procurement area, we're working, exploring how to leverage. So I AI, but for us, AI includes also robotic process. So we have robots working for us for the last years, taking all of big data sets, and they sift through. They do 100% monitoring of transaction.
Wow.
Had 22 people do.
Wow.
A robot.
Wow.
All of this.
Wow.
In a fraction of a second. Not that the job that they were doing before wasn't important. Mm-hmm. These people now are focusing doing something much more important and requires human power, brain power. In the context of austerity as well, we're working on developing AI tools to provide frontline support. Right now, we are measured by how many contracts, but how many instances in a year that you work with a client, you give them advice, you meet with them, and it doesn't result in a contract.
Yeah.
So all of this time spent doesn't go anywhere. You're not measured again. So right now, trying to take this activity off contract officer's plate and have that in a chat function. More, even a little bit further, we're working on having our clients, with the help of AI, develop technical the statement of requirement, the evaluation criteria. I think we spoke about that. But also on the other hand, helping contracting officers draft clauses and structure the program. And I'll have to say, about 3 weeks ago, I was walking on the floor and one of my senior officers taught me, said, we've been struggling with this client to translate what they want into our contract documentation. They threw it co-pilot. Perfect. So those are examples that encourage and validate that the vision is the right vision. I think it's going to be years before we see ourselves grow back. So we don't live in an island. We hear the reductions are coming, the cuts are coming. We have to, my goal is to supplement my people with technology and augment them with these kind of tools, leaving them to do stuff that artificial intelligence
cannot do. At the end of the day, artificial is just a tool. The human 100%. Component is still required to make the decisions, right?
Yeah. And yes, it's intelligence, but it's artificial.
It's artificial.
It does not substitute. There's lots of information, misinformation, and disinformation out there about it. There's lots of fear mongering. Oh, it's going to come after your jobs. It's going to come after this. Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
Today. Are there any advice to procurement officers that you have? Yeah.
My advice that I keep saying, I keep repeating, everybody was willing to listen to me, learn how to use, learn how to supplement yourself with these tools. And the way I positioned, if we take a look 20 years ago when we had secretary with a typewriter before the computer came, and suddenly the computers came, some of those who resisted learning became obsolete. Those who learned were able to grow with them, remain relevant. Also, Excel, PowerPoint, Word, those tools, they transform the way we do the work. And those who refuse to embrace and learn these tools, within the span of 10 years, they became irrelevant. Now, when you apply to a job, part of the asset criteria, you need to know how to use some of the tools.
Yeah.
And I don't see this any different that the distant future, not so distant future, that knowledge of how to use Copilot, to use ChatGPT or any of those tools would show up in the job description.
Wow. I remember specifically when I worked at shared services, when we had paper files and we had a drawer and you had this giant drawer with this wheel that you had to turn and open up. And I said, what's going on here? This was before we had everything digital.
Yes. Yeah.
And then there was also when we had hand signatures on the contracts. Then we had to scan it and then mail it. And people were hesitant when e-signatures were introduced. But now look at where we are.
Our e-signature management this year, 2016, was trying to implement. And my direct report said, absolutely, the world will stop turning. And fast forward to the pandemic. The pandemic forced us to raise it. And those people who resisted it were the first onboarders.
Wow.
It's something that I sometimes stop and think about.
The timing.
And the validation later on. Yeah. Look, how many years
yeah.
to just bring in what I knew it was.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is there any call to actions for listeners listening that you would give?
Yes. Again, believe in yourself. Learn as much as you can. Don't wait on your superiors to further your tell you what to do. You take leadership of your and ownership of your. Stay relevant. Get engaged. I can't tell you how many times I always look for volunteers to the point where I volunteer something.
Yeah.
What helped me in my career is that I've always raised my hand to do some stuff that my colleagues were not interested in. Is whether it was be part of the social committee, part of the health and safety committee, or taking on a file that was messy and was not the norm. Be engaged. After all, we spend more time at work, spend at home. make it relevant to you, make it matter to you. And there's always calls, opportunities to do something, take ownership. Right now, there's calls for operational efficiency. And don't wait on until your boss to come and tell you, you know what, I want to change this process. The process. You go to your boss, say, I think this part of the process can have somebody, and the robot does it. Mm-hmm. Or I can have the artificial intelligence do it. I can focus on, and I can assure you, your boss, you there's no shortage of these or actions to take. Just find the one.
Wow. There you have it. And if that discussion meant anything to you, you would definitely like and share this podcast to your fellow peers. Wow. We covered a lot of topics today, and I'm very happy to have you come down for the podcast. And I wish we'd have another hour to just keep going. And I'm sure I'll love to invite you back again and explore some other topics. But with that said and done, that concludes all the questions that I had. Do you have any comments or questions?
I am very thankful and humble that you actually, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much. And that concludes the podcast that we have for today. Be sure to share this to those who you think will find value and continue to follow for more great, insightful knowledge and podcast episodes. Thank you very much and see you at the next one.